Hello, AfterBuzz TV Alienist fans. We are getting ready to discuss the finale. We have a very special interview with Bill Heck, who played the killer, coming up. And then we will break down our moments, some of our finer moments with Sarah and Chrysler and Sarah and John. And then we will have our very last hashtag It Means Something for the season. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, AfterBuzz TV Drag Race fans. We have some Don Giovanni going in the background or AfterBuzz TV Drag Race fans. Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
That's what it felt like tonight was a drag race. It was so much going on. It was like all over the place.
I do another show. Sorry. I am your host, Jackie B. We have Candy and Takira in the house. Alice is joining us in the chat. And we have Bill Heck with us to discuss his role on Alienist.
Yay!
He played the killer Japheth Durie / John Beecham.
Yes!
Hi, Bill. How are you this evening?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. My first question for you, let's just get right into this, is what did you do to prepare for the role? Because we talk about on this show, what does it take to make a killer? And we're going to discuss that amongst ourselves a little bit later. And so what did it take for you to get into the mind of the killer?
It just came naturally.
It just came naturally. Oh, that's a little scary.
I knew
he would say that.
Right. It's all
not predictable now. I'd read the book years ago, and I sort of had a sense memory of what that was all about. And then once I got the job, I read the book again, and it does a lot of the work for you. Because it's all about what makes this guy tick, or trying to figure out what makes this guy tick, and so it's useful in that regard. And so I just kind of stuck with that, and it was really important to me early on to not ever villainize him to myself, and to be interested in what made him a human being, and why he's ruined the way he is, and why he does what he does. And I thought it was a fascinating challenge. And then I had to work out a lot.
Did you have to learn any climbing techniques?
That was going to be my question.
Right.
No, I've done some climbing in my day. Nice. Not quite like this guy, but I'm not the stranger to it. And the only real climbing I did in the show was just a few. There's a few clips of him training in 9 in the previous episode. Mm-hmm. So I just did a whole like gymnastics routine on a craggly brick wall and some beam stuff in the nude, as one does.
I noticed that there were some special effects on your face because you do not have a facial tick.
Not even that far.
Was there anything they had to do to your face to do the effects, or is that all in post?
That's all imposed. I did a bit of a thing on my own, just when we were shooting. We didn't know if that would be sufficient. You know, I think afterwards they decided they wanted something they talk about a lot, obviously leading up to the moment. So they want to satisfy the expectation of that to a certain degree.
Right.
You can tell they CGI'd it, right?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was very satisfying because everybody has in their minds like what the killer looks like, and we don't really have a clear view of what he looks like until this last episode.
This last one,
right. And I thought there was like, they had like an underskin ripple going on that was crazy, right. And then like your face distorts, and I was like, wow.
Right, yeah. Right. And to be honest with you, I thought it was going to be like even more extreme than what we saw. I was thinking like half of your face was like, what's the character
melted
on Batman?
Off.
Yeah, melting off, and half of your jaw showing and just disgusting. But right. I'm glad to see that, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I think that's the great thing about it.
He's like passed in his life. He can pass as sort of a normal dude until the twitch comes into play.
That's what I loved.
So yes. I think they didn't want to make it too grotesque.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, that's good to know, because I think we all created this image in our mind of what it could be, because the one thing that we heard consistently throughout this entire season was there was something wrong with his face.
Yeah.
You know, so
we went from teeth to tongue to lip. To,
just I everything.
Mean, we gave you probably everything that we could possibly think of as far as facial disfigurement.
We also called your character Bad Batman. I just want to give that a shout out. Bad Batman.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, we had our speculations.
Right.
It's nice to actually put a face with the killer, which was, I mean, this was our moment to see. And so it's pretty wild. And
I also, yeah. I love that you said, you know, you weren't making him be evil to yourself, because I think that Chrysler doesn't see him that way either. Mm-hmm. Like when he meets him, he realizes it's just like a guy trapped in like a sad child trapped in a guy's body.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's why he's so taken with him, because he understands, you know, the parts of himself that could lead down that way if had his life gone somewhat differently. And I think he's you know, this guy fascinates his own darkness,
mm-hmm.
And need to understand himself. As well as fascination with other people. But.
Were you only in these last two scenes, and they used a body double to play the snippets we see earlier? Or is that you throughout?
No, both. I was in the stuff I physically did was in episode 6, which is they sort of chase. I walk in. Wait, is that 6? Where I had the scene with Stevie. They sort of they set up that trap.
Yes.
And I come, you sort of follow me into that whorehouse, and I have a scene with Steve at the fireplace, and then they chase me across the street.
Yes.
That's me. But there are definitely, there was a lot of, I think they had at least, I was told, you know, 16, we shot it in Budapest, and so there were like at least 16 Hungarian doubles for me.
Wow.
Episodes. So they didn't have to pay me for all those episodes. and they put some stuff in later. There were times when I was out of town, so I wasn't able to come in for certain stuff. But any of the actual scene work is me, and then an okay amount of the other stuff is me. But there's definitely, because I think you see snippets of the character.
Mm-hmm.
At least 3 other episodes that I was not in.
Yeah, there's like the scene where he's putting on the gloves, and then he's like feeding the eyeballs to the cats.
Yeah. She was kind of fascinated with the whole, she calls it mayonnaise gloves.
I think it was mayonnaise in the gloves.
It definitely looked like mayonnaise in the gloves.
That's wretched.
You know, I don't know. We thought you were pretty sick. I don't know. She's at least brought it up every episode.
I'm really fascinated with Bad Batman's mayonnaise gloves.
Yes.
It was pretty intense.
Yeah, that might have actually been, because I was cast very late in the game. So they were at least, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes in before I even got the job. So they had doubles before I was ever even hired.
Wow. Yeah. And so they had to rush you out to Budapest?
Basically, yeah. I had to do it like I had to renew my passport as a whole thing. It was high tension.
So why do you think the character doesn't like cats? I mean, we have this last scene. We know he lived with the crazy cat lady, and he had the dead cat under the floorboards. And then we have this last scene where he bangs a cat against the wall, and it just like broke my heart.
I lost some sympathy in that scene, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, in the book, it's not really, he doesn't really have this thing with cats.
So they don't mention it at all in the book.
Yeah. No. Why do you think he doesn't like them?
The book does have, like, I think the book has the cat under the floorboard in the old residence. And then he's eating cat. It's a purely, it's how he eats.
So that's what he's eating.
Yeah, I think there's a scene where maybe there was one way early on in the series where he's cooking a cat. But maybe a scene. They did a lot of editing to the stuff I did. Okay. So I think there was a moment where you see a cat kind of, you know.
We thought that was a human. We thought he was eating a human.
It was like mixed, now that I think about the very beginning. I didn't even put two and two together. Duh. That's
Yeah, crazy. They don't clarify that. They just make me look like an asshole.
Yeah. Do you, random, but do you have any cats? I know you said you kind of lost a little sympathy there. That's tough.
I do not have cats.
Oh, okay.
I was I was going to say, there's no way that you could be a cat man with what you did to those cats.
That'd be tough.
There was no cat in the bag. I was very friendly with the actual cat when I picked up the real cat from the shop.
Sounds like a JPEG answer.
Wait,
to me.
What was in the bag? I'm curious now.
Oh, it was a cat.
No. What
was it? It was just, it was a weighted bag. There was, there was an actual cat on set.
Right.
Pick up the cat. But other than that, it was probably
a bunch of weights.
Weights. Nothing too exciting. Yeah.
So you've played a number of characters in different TV series.
Theater. I was very excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how was this different than any others that you've done?
The international shooting location brought in a lot of new elements that were really exciting. I've been on a couple of big production, big budget productions before, mm-hmm. like Spider-Man.
I was just about to say, she called you Bad Batman. It's funny that you're in Spider-Man too, so that's hilarious.
Nice.
Right. They've got to bring me to DC Comics now. This one was... the first thing that really struck me that was so fascinating is it looks phenomenal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, they shot it in Budapest in Hungary, and so a lot of those New York exteriors were in the back lot of the studio. So back in these fields, they would build... three blocks of the Bowery and three blocks of Washington Square Park mansions and the Brooklyn, like parts of the Brooklyn Bridge and the reservoir at the end there was actually this massive water tank that they had used for Blade Runner, the new Blade Runner the year before.
Wow.
And they just built up the reservoir on top of that. Five Points was this old abandoned Hungarian brewery that they just dressed up to look like the Five Points. And so not only were there these massive, beautiful sets, but the art direction was so detailed, they would use them for different locations, so they'd dress up the fronts in all these unbelievably detailed and thoughtful and surprising ways. And I thought that was very exciting for me to just walk from the gravel road in Hungary into 1896 New York, even though there was crew around and stuff. It was immediate. It was very visceral. And then, all this tunnel stuff in the reservoirs, mm-hmm. in the reservoir, in this episode was all shot, or most of it was shot in Budapest is like the city of Buda and the city of Pest, and Buda is this old town up on this huge hill. It's a palace and this old walled city. And so we shot those scenes in like these medieval tunnels, miles of tunnels that snake beneath the old city.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
It was coming out with black lung, but there was also this amazing history, the whole populations of that city during sieges would hide out down there, and there's just an unbelievable history attached to it that, added some real texture of my experience.
That's wonderful. I love to hear that. Do you have any anecdotes from set? Anything interesting
any
happens here?
Inside jokes?
I always like to ask that, just in case.
Moments?
That's so general. That's not a fair question.
I just want to know, if you had, an inside joke or something.
Yeah. Tell us about... that had to do with your experience.
I'm thinking of, I'll just start with there were two units shooting at the same time. Everyone, the leads in particular, were intensely busy and, it just took a lot. So it was strange to kind of drop, I was in and out of Budapest for 2.5 months. So I was just kind of the new kid on the block dropping into all these spots, but everyone was really friendly and invested and interested in the character and, how we fit in. But it was it's a strange part to have to fulfill that. I don't know why this is what occurred to me, the clips from episode 9, the last episode, where you see me sort of climbing the rafters mm-hmm. and doing my little climbing trainings. You know, I was naked shooting that, and there was like, you know, it's this in the show, it's this creepy, ominous thing, and in reality, I'm just doing like these naked gymnastics and you know, everything to a room full of 20 crew persons.
Oh,
and it was really like it really hurt my dignity.
But I saw you were in cabaret. I saw you were in cabaret, so you have to be. Have some experience with at least semi-nudity in front of lots of people.
I've had to be naked in shows. Not cabaret, though, I don't think.
Oh, really?
It's a very sexy show, for sure.
So I have to ask you, what was your initial response when they told you that you would be completely naked for this scene?
I knew that would be true. I was in at that point, I guess.
I was absolutely.
I was supposed to go.
It was actually your idea.
He was like, look, guys, technically, I think yeah, I should be nude in this scene.
I got this.
There's actually a lot more nudity in the book.
Yeah.
I don't know how well you recall from the book, but in that final scene where they come upon him with Joseph in the mm-hmm. book, he's like mid act and naked and mm-hmm. like trying to get an erection, and it's really much more intense and wow. upsetting in that regard.
I'm kind of glad that
but that is I mean that's true when you look at the clues or the story his story coming up to that point. You have the story of him like naked beating the mm-hmm. the other guy to death in the Chicago
wow.
riot
yeah.
scene.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, it makes, there's like a textual precedent for it. It wasn't just yes. like, here, you have to do this, you know.
Yeah.
There is also.
It's a previous scene where you see him in the bathhouse where you see him dragging Joseph's friend around. He's obviously
right.
naked.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so that's just how he rolls.
I guess so.
And speaking of Joseph, in the chat, they're asking, what exactly were you reciting to Joseph in that one scene? And I would like to know, was that something that your mother, like, were those words from your mother? Or was it from the man who molested you? Like, what exactly were you saying?
Yeah, it was quotes from, it's interesting, that scene is written very differently. It was written very and shot very differently. It's actually as originally written and shot was a long monologue. It wasn't sort of the weird abstract whispers of torment. The scene originally was just me speaking to the child and talking about how my mother would berate me for being in trouble and dress me up in girls' clothes, send me to school in girls' clothes when I got in trouble.
Wow.
And call me a savage, and you know I speak in her voice a bit, and then I talk about how she only loved me when she bathed me, but then when she bathed me, she'd wash every part of me, and it would get you know sexually upsetting, and then talk how I would take care of the kid. So it was actually this scene where you really start to understand the psychology of the character.
Wow!
And last Monday, a week ago, I came in. For some ADR, which is additional dialogue recording. It's for people who don't know, it's they bring you into a sound booth, and if there's some dialogue that they weren't able to catch appropriately on the day we were shooting, you kind of record, you see the scene, and you record mm-hmm. over it and try and match the voice. And it's all very surreal and bizarre. But I saw these scenes for the first time, and it was suddenly this abstracted, tormenty, whispered mm-hmm. scene. So it caught me off guard. I think it's a smart move. They wanted to preserve the mystery of the character. They didn't want the audience to find out things before Kreisler. They wanted Kreisler to still have this, you know, sort of unsatisfied torment. And it helps with attention. It's a smart move.
Yeah.
But so in any case, those all those lines you hear are from a relatively normal scene where I'm actually just speaking to the boy.
That's interesting.
That is really
wow.
interesting.
And very recent.
Unfortunately, we have to wrap things up rather quickly, but I always love to ask people, what would be your ultimate role to play? What role would you say you know, I could leave now knowing I played this role?
I've been lucky enough to have a few of those, honestly. Nice. I'm interested in what's coming. I did, I could go down the list, but the job I did right after this was a good part in a Coen Brothers project that's coming out in November.
Oh, nice.
Just to do an unintentional plug.
Of course, no. We love intentional plugs.
We were going to give you...
The Coen Brothers project called The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, and I literally came home and spent two nights with my kids and wife and then went out to the prairies of western Nebraska for an Oregon Trail film and just played, you know, played cowboy.
Nice. Nice. It sounds fun. Right. Is there anything else you'd like to plug before you go? Like any other projects you'd like to share with people that they should keep up on?
No, not unless someone wants to give me a job.
Hey, if you want to give Bill Heck a job, we like him.
Right. I think he did a pretty good job.
Yes.
In Alienist.
He did a great job in The Alienist.
And like, you had big shoes to fill. I mean, the show literally led up to your character and your moment, and you delivered.
Yeah, every week I watched the episode, I would just get sick to my stomach with anxiety. I was like, I can't. This is going to disappoint everybody.
No.
There's no way I can live up to
no,
all this.
No, not at all.
No, I think it was perfect.
Yeah. Wow. You definitely delivered, so kudos, thank you, because we grew our show, our after show, based on all of the clues leading up to who the heck you were.
Yes.
And so I'm, you know, no pun intended,
you know
what the heck, but...
I wish that we could have taken a photo of our faces at the end of this show and mailed it to you, because...
I wish.
The anxiety that I felt at that moment was insane. It was crazy. So thank you for a job well done. I wish I could give you a standing ovation, but we're on air.
Right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us, Bill, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again on one of our other shows sometime.
Yes, we will be on the lookout for more work from you.
Yes. Thank
Fantastic.
You.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Bill. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
So I want to do a quick plug for Maria's podcast. Do you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those of you who do, we have the podcast for you. It's called Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. It's hosted by our illustrious AfterBuzz TV founder, and it drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. So go to iTunes, tell them we sent you, and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and check it out. Yay. We love Maria. She's done so much for us. So, she has two different books that I've read. And so this podcast is part of her like experience where she tells you all of her, I'm sorry, I'm just blanking, all of her helpful tips. That's what I was looking
for. Which
all
is great because she's had so much success in this industry.
Right.
You know, it's definitely great for anybody who's looking to get insight or even just inspirational advice.
Absolutely.
Or anything. Career, fashion, you know. She knows a lot.
She's a great freaking person. Check her out.
So, quick dive into the episode. I wanted to actually start with this moment between Sarah and Chrysler. We know that Chrysler is still in mourning, and Sarah kind of goes over to comfort him. And he opens up about his relationship with his father and what really caused his arm problem. And then Sarah opens up about her father, and we learn that her father botched his suicide and she had to end up killing him, which...
Wow.
This is a huge... Like, if they have a season two, this is a huge building moment between the two of them that causes, like, a trust, a built-in trust to go forward.
And a sigh of relief. In a weird way.
Great word. Yes.
I mean, you could see the emotion. You can see the trust wall fall down. You can see just a weight lifted off the shoulders of both of them.
Yes, and I'm so glad that you said trust wall, because I think that that was something that they both needed. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen throughout this entire season that their walls have been up. You know, she's a leader, he's a leader. They've been bumping heads. They had that moment where he slapped her. So I think... in the last, show, we mentioned, what is that moment going to be like when they finally talk about what happened? So it was a sigh of relief for me when she apologized. Yes. I mean, like, what other way can you really break that ice and discuss that? But it was just for them to share that moment. I couldn't have seen anyone else sharing that moment with him except for her. And especially with what she went through with her father. I can't even imagine. I think she was, 12 years old?
Yeah.
When that happened?
Yeah.
I can't imagine being a 12-year-old girl basically taking the man that you love the most, you have to help him, in a sense, kill himself.
You know, I love the, I'm so sorry. I just want to just get this in before. I love the moment she said, we use the memory of our pain to help others.
Wow. I think that's the moment that, I connected to this episode so deeply because, and I'm going to try not to get emotional because we're on camera, but when I was watching the show, I was like, Lord, take these headphones. I can't stay. But my father committed suicide when when I was young, and I was just thinking, had that had been me, like, would I have been able to do that? And I don't know that I could. So the strength in her making that decision to finish that. Yeah. Because obviously I was younger. I was 13 months old. So I wasn't old enough to, recall. But hearing some of the things that people have told me in my neighborhood is that my father also changed his mind. And try to reverse. Oh. And you hear it a lot that people committing suicide have that instant moment that they want to take it back and can't. So kudos to the writers. Yes. I mean, you guys have really put an awareness on something that is so important. Yes. That, you know, what could have happened to reverse that in a different manner.
And you know what? I'll say this. Thank you for being so brave to share that.
Yes, thank you for sharing
You know,
that.
And thank to be honest, the one thing that you and Sarah have is that strength. Mm-hmm. You have so much strength behind you. So I love you, and I appreciate you for saying that. And I'll say this. I think sometimes I think the love that you have for that person, it's stronger than what you're seeing them go through. You don't want to, like, it hurts you. It pains you to see them go through what they're going through. And for him to, I think she said that he was experiencing melancholy. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, like, when you love someone, it hurts you even more to see them go through that pain. So it's like, if I can take that pain away, that's how much I love you.
Yeah.
You know, so thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. I appreciate
them, like you said, the writers, for sharing that moment as
They're
well.
Amazing. Yeah.
You know what great television does, though? Great television touches you. Like, it reaches right into your heart, and it speaks something to your heart. And so that's why this is good television. For anybody that has struggled with that moment, they made sure to give that moment real dignity and gravitas for the people that have experienced that, so that you can say, even if the actors themselves haven't understand it, you can say, at least you respect what has happened to me.
Absolutely. And that, I mean, can I just speak on just all of them facing their fears? Because, I mean, like you mentioned, Dr. Kreisler said, you know, told us what happened to his father. Sarah confronted and actually said it out loud, because that's the first step of getting over something you're struggling with. And then John, I think we're believed to think this is the guy that his fiance cheated on him with.
Yes, John Astor.
Yes.
Wasn't he the...
How dare he say that to him, right?
And offer him a drink. And John just brutally with his chest out, no. And he could have. I think the John that we met in episode one would have ran away like a scared dog.
Well, he also said he wasn't going to drink, like, at all.
Yes.
Which I thought was, like...
I don't drink anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I haven't... I'm so sorry, you guys. We tape right after watching it, so we can't...
It's fresh.
We can't... Yeah, we can't fact check everything, but I believe... I want to say John Astor was one of the survivors of the Titanic. The name sounds very familiar to me. I know he's like he was a millionaire at the time, but I want to say that, but again, it's like, I come on air from watching it. So
season two.
I love our host, guys. You know all of these great things and you catch everything.
We do.
If not, I'm sorry.
A bunch of historians.
But I do like the fact that they bring in historical characters
absolutely.
To make
I love
these
it.
Points.
Absolutely.
You know, it makes it. It makes it more real. It makes the environment more real.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you were talking about how John had this strength about his ex, and now we see that kiss that I had been waiting for.
Okay, let's talk about this kiss. Please.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so I'm trying to get these words out, but okay, I wrote this down. I said, okay, so I was like, well, is she going to kiss him back? You know, I was like, come on. Like, I feel like, again, that's the wall I want to see come down in season two.
Yes.
You know, I think it was great that she talked to us about her father, but I want to see her love. She's so strong, but with every strong woman, I want to see them fall in love, and I want to see them be loved. And John, I know that he's not going to give up. But I was like, girl, get that kiss, girl. Get your man.
Yes.
So that was the thing that I wish we could have seen more of.
Yeah.
I do like that as a good tease for next season, especially with John giving Chrysler the ring he was going to give to me.
Oh, my gosh.
That broke my heart.
Yeah. Talk about pulling on the heartstrings. And I think what just made me even more want to tug on the heartstring is the fact that he smiled after. We don't see Dr. Chrysler.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Dr. Chrysler smile. And he was just so satisfied and so pleased. Oh, gosh.
And I think he already knows what's going to happen there.
He does.
You know, and if if I were Chrysler, if you're going to give this ring to anybody, you better give this to Sarah.
Right.
You know, I'm sure that's what he's feeling in his heart. Right. And honestly, he knows how much she deserves it, especially after sharing that moment that they had together.
It's amazing.
She needs to be loved. I think he knows that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just want to do a last hashtag it means something for our fans, our special segment.
I'm not ready to go yet.
We had so many clues. We had so many clues, and some of them culminated in this episode. Mm-hmm. For me, I had been waiting all season because we had heard about Sarah's use of guns.
Yes.
And I had been waiting all season for her to use the gun. And that minute that Connor came in, I was like, this is her moment. This is where she gets to use the gun and be a hero.
Oh. It couldn't have been a more perfect time. And I immediately looked at Candy because I was like, she actually put out the hit, I think, for Connor.
Oh, of course.
And she like put it out on him. And I looked at her like, are you satisfied? She was like, yes.
And do you know what that meant for women, especially in that era? And just even us, you know, just to see a woman be the hero in a period where a woman couldn't even vote.
Yes,
their voice wasn't even heard. She was the very first woman in the police department. And now she is the unsung hero, you know, like
it's
appreciated
amazing.
That moment.
And it's just, it's frustrating in the end because they can't give her the recognition, both because of the family and the politics with Burns still kind of being in the shadows. And also because knowing that a woman that she shot Connor, she would be out of the police department.
Yeah. But you know what Theodore said to her?
Mm-hmm.
You've always had the courage to do what needed to be done.
Yes. Your father would have been proud.
It was such a great moment.
And you know what? I can't say, I respectfully understand, but I can't say that I agree. Because how many times have, I think it's so important for people who have a platform, us, what we're doing today, you know, Teddy Roosevelt, I think people who have a platform should use it. And sometimes that's difficult, and sometimes that's not the popular thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like at a moment in time, I was so disappointed in Teddy Roosevelt because I was thinking he's now covering also.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand why.
Timing is everything.
It is.
Yeah.
Timing is everything. And I think during that time, I mean, how else would that situation have really played out? I mean, if you think about it, I think that was the best way for it to end, especially because they've already killed Mary. You know, they don't care. It's all about the rich. They want to give the rich what they want. So, I mean, that's the only way to me I think it could have ended.
Yeah. And then I just want to bring up one last point because we have to wrap soon. We discussed all season, what does it take to make a killer? And we have, again, that moment between Sarah and Chrysler where she's talking about how the choice, like, I believe the choice is ours, because mm-hmm. if it wasn't, we'd all be murderers. And yes. then we bookend it with Chrysler going to his dad and basically saying, I take agency over my own life, but I choose hope.
Yes.
And I think that's a good forward-looking mm-hmm. for a possible season two.
Right. I think that question, what does it take, one word that came to mind is pain. Mm-hmm. But then the next word is intention. You have to have full intention on what you do with that pain. And that's why I love how Sarah tied her quote to the end of everyone facing their fears. It's that intent behind it. You can choose a different path. Generational issues or demons, things that you've struggled with that maybe are new to your family, you can make the choice. It's difficult, but you can.
Wow.
And it's such a powerful message. I mean, this show...
Yes. Is wow. there anything, if they have a season two, just off the top of your head, is there anything you would say, like, this is what I want to see in the season two?
I think I said it. I would love to see Sarah fall in love. I would love to see her allow herself to receive love.
Yeah.
I would love to see more of your friend's character.
Yes.
Yes.
And Brittany. I kept thinking, yes. I wrote her name down. Joanna.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would piggyback off of that and just say the strength from each individual backstory.
Yes.
How they overcome their issue for their backstory. Absolutely.
I love that.
So beautiful. And water. I'll end on that really quick. And then, we were so right. We called it like second after show. We were so right.
It's so true. You called it.
Okay. You know what? I do have something I want to add. Something else I want to see.
Go ahead.
Can people just, with your hygiene, guys, you know, nobody washes their hands. I'm going to take it back to the first episode, guys. You know, just a little more cleanliness. You know, with time, you know, hopefully it gets better.
Can we get a toilet invented?
Toilet paper, wash rags, soap.
I thought about you, Candy, when I was reading the book, because there's a scene where, like, towards the end, it starts raining, and John is like, oh, this is great. It'll clean the streets. And I was like, oh, my God.
Where does this runoff go?
All right.
And you know what? To end, he called it a cab at the end, the carriage. Did they call it a cab?
A handsome cab.
Interesting. I was like, do they call it a cab? Was that a little joke? A little inside?
All right. It's the first time I've heard it.
Yeah.
I do have one fan shout out, and it's for Philip Lum, who is our fan of the week, our very last fan of the week for the
yes!
series. And that's because last episode I made a reference to Buffalo Bill, and actually the guy who plays Burns did play Buffalo Bill, and it was killing me because I was like, why is his voice so distinctive to me? And it's like, oh yeah, because that's he plays why. Buffalo
nice.
Bill. And I did see a little Buffalo Billy in this killer, but I think actually this killer, the way that in the end, they kind of make him a little bit more sympathetic, mm-hmm. even though you're still like, you've done some crazy, crappy right. things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so yes. much for joining us. You can find me, 123 Jackie B, on all platforms and on the Drag Race After Show, as I mistakenly said at the beginning of the episode. I am so sorry.
It's all good, guys. Go check out that Drag Race. It has been an absolute pleasure, guys. I am Miss Candy Marie, and you can find me on Instagram at Miss Candy Marie and on Twitter at SweetCandoyTV.
An amazing 10 weeks. I love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Takira Shabre, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Takira_Shabre. I am also on the Timeless after show on Wednesdays.
Love that show.
Talk about history. It's like wrapping up everything yes. we've ever talked about. If you're a history nut, tune in. And I do For the People, Shondaland's new
yes,
TV show.
Yes, I
on
saw
Thursdays.
You. Congratulations.
So come tune in. If you watch any one of those, we'd love to have you.
Well, thanks, you guys. Hopefully we'll see you for a season two.
Yes. Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
We love you, Alice!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.